Welcome back to another episode of the Credit Clubhouse, your one-stop shop for all things credit. As always, I'm your host, Todd Anderson, Head of Content and Programming at Deal Catalyst. Today's episode, Chris Fries joins me. Chris is the Senior Managing Director, co-head of the Investor Relations Group, Churchill Asset Management. Chris and I get into all things fund finance, some of the motivation behind just the exponential growth, Churchill's role as a CFO or collateralized fund obligation issuer, bringing more transparency into the market, and much, much more. Now, don't forget, please follow us, rate the show, or write a review, and reach out anytime with feedback or guest suggestions. I can be reached at todd.anderson@dealcatalyst.io. Now, without further ado, my conversation with Chris Fries of Churchill Asset Management. Welcome to the podcast, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you, Todd?
I'm doing well. So thanks for joining us on this episode. Good to see you again. And you know, for the audience, if you can tell us a little bit about yourself, your current role, and ultimately, how did you come to work at Churchill?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, Todd, thanks for having me. My name is Chris Fries. I'm the co-head of the Investor Solutions Group at Churchill Asset Management. I focus on leading the capital raising product development activities with our institutional investors around the globe. And the thing we're really most focused on at Churchill, Todd, is how can we expand our relationship with institutional investors? And look, just as an aside, I came to finance late in life. I started my career as a prosecutor in the DA's office in Brooklyn, New York. And I've come a long way from the courthouse in downtown Brooklyn to the canyons of private credit and private equity. And it's been quite a journey.
So if you could tell the audience a little bit about kind of what role Churchill plays in the broader, you know, fund finance universe. I think everyone's kind of hearing a lot more about fund finance these days. And so curious to understand kind of where Churchill fits and where you fit within that broader universe.
We offer solutions to middle market sponsors, and we also offer solutions to investors looking to capture the return profile of the U.S. middle market. Part of that involves creating fund finance opportunities or securitization opportunities for people to participate in. That could be through a subscription facility, an asset-based lending facility, a CLO, or a rated note or securitization like a CFO. We spend a lot of time creating securitizations to meet the demand for investors who want the yield enhancement and high risk-adjusted returns that they provide. And you know, I would say Churchill is a leading leading player in the fund finance market, which is growing very rapidly.
And you've referenced, you know, the CFOs. I've seen a couple of the CFOs that you guys have done in terms of publicly discussed. I mean, can you talk a little bit about some of the recent transactions? Have you done more than just the two that at least I'm aware of?
Yeah, we recently closed two transactions and we're working on other transactions. And what collateralized fund obligations are, is they are using the technology of a CLO, but with a different investment content. We've issued CFOs, which basically allow investors to access the return profile of the U.S. middle market in a way that works for them from a regulatory capital perspective. There's high demand for collateralized fund obligations, and Churchill wants to be a leader in meeting that demand. And what collateralized fund obligations allow people to do is to customize their return profile, the duration of their investment, the capital charge associated with the investment, while at the same time providing a greater risk-adjusted return opportunity than an investment-grade rated bond or a CLO. I expect that we will see more and more CFOs issued. I think we're really, you know, at the beginning of a super cycle of CFO issuance. I think there's high demand in the market, and I think issuers and sponsors are interested in offering those structures.
What's been some of the motivation for that increased demand? And secondly, what have been maybe some of the barriers to growth not being as high as maybe, you know, you'd hope it be at this point? Has there been any kind of factors to, you know, kind of stunt growth, or what are some of the, you know, factors behind the increased investor demand lately?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, CFOs are relatively new from a finance perspective. And I think like all new strategies, it takes time for the market to accept them. for them to become mainstream and for them to move in from the sidelines. I think if you just think about CFOs for a minute, Todd, it's actually very interesting. 5 years ago, 3 years ago, at the major conferences, CFO was never even mentioned as a fund finance opportunity. It was never mentioned. 2 years ago, CFO issuers were invited to participate in panels on other topics. Now there are conferences where there are CFO panels and they are standing room only. And in fact, there are CFO conferences alone, which really just reflects the broad growth and mainstream acceptance of these structures. And you have to ask yourself, why is that? Because what CFOs really offer investors who are yield-based, investment grade rated buyers, is they can invest in a bond, and they could receive a certain return profile. They can invest in a CFO that provides yield enhancement to that very same bond and that very same duration. And investors who could pick up 50 or 100 basis points of increased yield, that is a terrific outcome for them. And I think people are more and more interested in that. And I think because of that demand, issuers are going to step forward to meet that demand. So I think it's only going to grow as it becomes more and more commonly accepted.
Widening out a little bit, it feels like fund finance is kind of having a moment right now. We've launched a fund finance conference both here in the US and abroad. I mean, is there, kind of a impetus as to why fund finance has kind of taken off the last couple of years? Is it part of the growth of private credit, which has obviously been all the rage the last few years? Kind of looking at it maybe from a wider lens, what are you seeing in the market more broadly speaking?
Fund finance is a really big catch-all, title. Fund finance could be a subscription facility, it could be a CLO, it could be an ABL facility, it could be some other form of bond. And I think what you had happened in the last 10 years is, with interest rates being low and persistently low for a decade, investors were looking for opportunities to generate more return. Fund finance provided that opportunity and continues to provide that opportunity. And I think that is really what helped grow the fund finance community. It isn't really tied necessarily to the growth of private credit or the growth of alternatives. Securitizations and fund finance has been around a long time, but really in the last decade, probably, more importantly, in the last 5 years, it's really grown, because it's meeting a need for investors for customization and flexibility, high risk adjusted returns, greater yield. And I think the market has moved in some ways, Todd, from investors and issuers working with intermediaries, investment banks, to investors and issuers now working on a bilateral basis. And I think that will continue to fuel the growth of fund finance. And if you just, think about it, very shortly, there is a large fund finance conference in Las Vegas that will have 5,000 attendees, while at the same time, there's a conference in Florida that will have 2,000 attendees. The number of people going to these events is a testament to how important this is now from a finance perspective to both investors, issuers, and and those individuals who help make those transactions happen.
Looking at it from the opposite angle, I mean, are there some potential impediments that could, kind of stunt the market, stunt the growth that you see as, potential issues coming down the pike in the next year, 2 years?
Look, I think the biggest issue that our industry faces is a self-inflicted wound. If issuers and sponsors continue to create good structures that provide everyone the benefit of the bargain that that structure was intended to provide, we are on just an upward sloping trajectory and we will continue to grow. But if we allow poorly structured opportunities to come to the market and those structures perform poorly, that's the biggest thing that we have to avoid and the thing that will hurt this business the most, because people won't hold up the 100 structures that were terrific or the 1,000 structures that were terrific. They're going to hold up the one structure that was not created well, and that will taint everything that we're trying to accomplish. And I think if everyone appreciates that and is working hard to bring the best structures to the market, but I think really the biggest risk is ourselves, Todd.
And, something you mentioned to me last year was when we were putting together our first event was transparency around these structures. How much more can be done to talk about them in an open way and get them on the record, talk about them in shows like this and at conferences. Do you see some of that beginning to change where it's becoming bigger in terms of people talking about them more openly? And obviously you guys are certainly leading that way. Are you seeing others do the same thing where some of these structures are getting the light shined on it? And that's a good thing because they are safe and they are a tool that can be used.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's more and more transparency. You see that a couple of ways. One is many of these structures have rating reports associated with them. There are more and more public rating reports where you can go into Kroll's website, you know, Fitch's website, the other rating agencies, and see the reports of structures that were created. 5 years ago, there were very few of any structures that were transparent, and then you could see. Now there are articles written about structures. Issuers and investors are talking publicly about what a great opportunity this is. You know, I think the more of that that happens, the more widely accepted this will be. And the more widely accepted this will be, you know, really the better return opportunity presents for everyone. And if you just look at how large the CLO market is in terms of number of issuances and billions of dollars in CLOs, we have the ability to be bigger than that, you know, in the securitization market, because we are able to put more content, more diverse content, and create better structures than the CLO community, which only invests in loans. So I think you're going to continue to see transparency, and I think that will help this business grow. And look, this podcast is an example of that. The conference you're putting on is an example of that. The conference you just had in Europe is an example of that. I think we need to be doing more of that, Don.
In terms of when it comes to, you know, investors, regulators, is there any particular thing that, you know, kind of they use, especially on the investor side, that is giving them pause in any of these structures that maybe, you know, the more they see of it, all right, we become more ease with this risk, with the return. Is there any particular thing today that investors are saying that, that kind of gives them the most pause?
You know, look, I can't speak for the regulators. I think investors want good structures, good diverse structures to come to the market, you know, issued by leading sponsors, right? That they can be comfortable, you know, being in a long-term arrangement, you know, with. So, you know, good issuers anticipate the needs of investors and meet those needs to continue to grow. And that's what allows the market, you know, to flourish. We completed one transaction, and we then completed another transaction about a year later, which really spoke to our ability to anticipate and meet the needs of investors. And I think issuers and sponsors who do that, you know, will be in high demand, and the market will grow if people continue to do that. And I think that that will really help this market grow. You know, from an investor's perspective, they're making a choice. You know, is this opportunity one that will stand the test of time? Is this a sponsor or issuer that I want to have a 5 or 7 year relationship with? And once an investor makes that decision, you can do a lot more with that investor because they've already decided that you're a high quality firm, and, yeah, and that you will, you know, you will meet their needs. So, and I think if you looked at the repeat investors in securitizations, so many of the investors are repeat investors because they understand the opportunity it provides.
It's part of it, you know, you get one deal done, and then it's, it makes the second deal, the third deal, the fourth deal, the fifth deal that much easier to do.
Definitely. I mean, look, anytime you try and do something for the first time, people ask all of the natural questions about your ability to execute that. And it's one thing to close a transaction. It's another thing to administer and manage that transaction over a couple of years. So I think once you've done one of those transactions, you've already met, you know, and answered all of those questions, which are reasonable, makes the second transaction easier. And I'll just give you an example. The first transaction we completed was all in US dollar denominated assets. Well, the second transaction we completed was about 50% non-US assets. And we were able to take the technology a step forward and offer investors the opportunity to have euro assets and dollar assets in a way that made it, you know, more diversified from a risk-adjusted return perspective. And I think every time we try and do a transaction, Todd, we're going to try and push the technology a step forward to make a better structure. And I think it's incumbent on issuers to think that way because the market is constantly evolving.
So we have just a few minutes left. I like to end a little bit lighter than where we started. So some fun questions out the door. Do you have favorite sports team or hobby?
Look, I'm a St. John's College, St. John's Law School alumni. So
big year for you guys this year.
Huge St. John's basketball fan. So I won't be able to make the game this weekend, but it's the new glory days in Jamaica, Queens. So big St. John's fan. And then, look, you know, from a hobby perspective, I really love puzzles. Give me a 500-piece puzzle or a 1,000-piece puzzle. You know, that gives me a lot of time to think about how we can create good structures, and their analogies to creating securitization. How do you take something, put the pieces together, and make something, you know, beautiful at the end? And so I enjoy puzzles.
That's an interesting analogy.
Yep.
Tell us one surprising thing about yourself.
Todd, I'll share two things with you. One is, in addition to being a U.S. citizen, I'm an Irish citizen. And I'm probably one of the few people in fund finance to own his own pair of lederhosen.
What's the? I can kind of guess the answer to this question because you've hinted it throughout. But what's the most exciting part of your job?
Look, the best part of my job is getting to spend time with interesting and creative people who are trying to problem solve and meet the needs of investors. And look, as I look across my career, you know, the fraternity and sorority of people and the different roles that I've come across, the relationships that I've built over 30 years, you know, is really a great thing. You know, you continue to keep in touch with people and help and support them and push them forward, and they do the same for you. It really makes you realize what a great business this is. And it's all about the people, you know, and it's about common success. And you know, very fortunate to be in a business like this.
And then one final question, one prediction over the next year.
You know, this is a tough one. You know, I think I'll go out on a limb here, Todd. I would say, look, in calendar year 2025, there will be more CFOs issued than were issued in 2023 and 2024 together, which will reflect the fundamental growth of the broad acceptance of CFOs.
Well, Chris, thank you for your time. Really appreciate you giving me a few minutes today. And always thank you for your help as we build out the Fund Finance Conference. You've been a great resource.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for the opportunity to spend time with you today.
Thank you.